Okay, thank you, Gordon. Good evening, everyone. We're going to open now for a Bible study. We're going to be looking in tonight at the times and the seasons. Hang on one second. Okay. All right, we read in Acts chapter 14, verse 17, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did give, that he did good and gave us the rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness." And our meat in the little season is the hour of judgment. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 1, "Of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I should write it unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of our Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you, or as a thief." Hang on one second. Okay, "darkness that should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are in the day be sober, putting on the breastplates of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as ye also do." As also ye do. So here the Lord is telling us, when they shall say peace and safety at last, then shall sudden destruction come. And the peace and the safety that they're happy with is the peace and safety ultimately from hell. The time when the preaching and the teaching of hell and damnation is no longer available in the churches. A time when they will be able to give peace one to another, gifts one to another. That's the peace that they desire, not the peace of the gospel. And the Lord says, when they shall say this, peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, God says here that we perfectly know that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The body of Christ knows that it will come upon the world quickly, and that the Lord will come as a thief, and he'll come in judgment. We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he saith unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, and the power of God is his word. He has put it into his word. Ye shall receive word or power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And that's where we are. We are at the uttermost parts of the earth. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." And this, is, of course, is when the Lord ascended and was seated at the right hand of the Father. And it is the body of Christ that has received him out of the sight of man. Christ is hidden in the clouds. He's hidden in the body of Christ, in the body, his people, the true church of God. God told us that there are three things that will, we'll count them. Three things that will take place before we receive word or receive power. Let's look at that again in verse 7. "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." So of ourselves, we cannot know it. And until the Lord opens up the seals of this knowledge, we're not going to know it. Until the time comes that we should know it, we will not know it. And that is why the book of Revelations, Revelation and many, many other books of the Bible just has not opened until now. Now we have the meat of due season. And now we understand many of the things that many have not understood. But we shall receive power, or we shall receive word. After that, A, the Holy Spirit is come unto you, and the Holy Spirit indeed has come upon us. It came upon us in Pentecost, when the Lord was received up and set at the right hand of the Father. Two, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea. And Jerusalem, in this particular case, I think is focusing in on the corporate body, and all of Judea, I think, is focusing in on the body of Christ. And in Samaria, and I think that is focusing in on the world, and onto the uttermost parts of the earth, and that's at the ends of the world, when we come into the last phase of the world, which is the Great Tribulation, the hour of judgment. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, we read of this hour of judgment. We read, "And I saw another messenger," and that messenger is the Holy Spirit, "flying in the midst of heaven," which is the body of Christ, "having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindreds and tongues and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another messenger, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen." And that is the falling of the corporate body. That is judgment coming upon the church. And it is the Holy Spirit moving through the body of Christ, making this known unto the body. And the messenger followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torments ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." So the message being declared, and this is the message that has been declared from the beginning, fear God and give glory to him. And it is the message that the body of Christ has been declaring right up until the depart out, fear God and give glory to them. But they have refused to fear God. They have refused to give glory to him. They prefer to give glory to themselves, to the books of dead men, to the denominations, to their churches, to the people, to their preachers, to their teachers, and not to God. And the Lord now is telling us to declare another message, and that is that the hour of his judgment has come. That is a time, there is a time when we will declare this message, and that time has come. And until this time, that message could not be declared. But now it can be declared. The hour of his judgment has come. And that's what hopefully we're going to see tonight as we look into these verses. "And worship him that made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water." We read in Matthew chapter 16 that we ought to be discerners of the signs of the times. We read in verse 1, Matthew 16 verse 1, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. and in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto you but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. which when the Lord perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have taken no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves and the 4,000s, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not concerning the bread, that ye shall beware of the, but that ye shall beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So again, the same situation has taken place today. The people within the churches cannot discern the times and the signs of the times. And they too are seeking after a sign. They look for tongues and visions and all kinds of strange ideas and doctrines. And that's why the Lord has warned us to beware of the leaven, the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it becomes the same thing, you know, the men within the churches today bringing in these damnable heresies. We read that in due season we shall reap, a due season to reap. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, we read, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth of his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall to the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And this word faint is focusing in on the no longer bringing forth of the Word of God. That is the word faint. And the churches have fainted. Many people who claim to have been part of the body of Christ and have fainted, they are now standing in the wrong lot. And again, to faint is not to be able to say anything. It is not to be able to declare the Word of God. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Looking at this word faith, we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And that is the bringing of the gospel, to run with the patience and bringing the gospel, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. But ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto the children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? We read in Mark, again looking at this word faith, faint, chapter 8, verse 1, In those days, the multitudes being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitudes, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. So to faint along the way is not to have the food. The fainting is to not to have the word of God upon your lips, the declaring of the gospel. And we are not to faint. We are to continue to proclaim the truth, the word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we read, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, we read, Likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And that elder is Christ, who we are to submit ourselves unto. Yea, all of you, be subject unto one another, and be clothed with humility. And God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So, in due season, to be exalted, but we are to be subject one to another. And again, you know, as we listen one to another, as we, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of us. It is Christ who is speaking when we come together in the name of Christ, because we're looking into God's word, line upon line, precept upon precept, looking for correction and looking for the meat of due season, looking for the food of the day. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 45, we read, Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made him ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Truly I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And we are to be ready. We read in Matthew 24, verse 40, Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be in the grinding mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And to be ready is to be looking into God's Word, to have a relationship with the Father. To be ready is to be asking questions to the Lord and reading the Bible. And because we don't know the day or the hour. You know, over the past many years, many people have thought that this is the time or that is the time, and they, you know, they really wasn't ready to even truly know, because they were looking at the things of the world and not the things in the Bible. And now the time has come, and they haven't recognized it, because they haven't been watching. They're not ready. But be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And indeed, the Son of Man has come. He's come in judgment. Ultimately, Christ has never left us. He has always been here. He is in the clouds, and he's been in the clouds since Pentecost, and will be in the clouds until he reveals himself in all of his glory at the end of the world. So he's always been here, building his church, moving the truth through the body of Christ. But now has come the time that he has come in judgment, and judgment begins in the house of God. And he has brought judgment upon the churches, upon the house of God. In Matthew 24, we read in verse 48, But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, In his heart, he disagrees. He disbelieves. He doesn't see. He says, the Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. You know, here the body of Christ is declaring that the end of the world is upon us. We're declaring that the great tribulation is well spent, and that the day of the Lord is near. And we're declaring even so boldly that we might even know the timing. And yet the peoples in the churches have disagreed with that. They deny that. And yet we come with an abundance of proof within the Bible. Over the years, many people have declared different things, and they have never really people never really got so upset with them as they do today with the body of Christ declaring the truth, because Judgment Day is around the corner, and they don't want to see it. They're not ready. But the Lord tells us that they shall begin to smite his fellow servants, to smite his fellow servant. Ultimately, the fellow servant is in the church, and the body of Christ declaring the truth is being smitten by not being able to bring the gospel, to be smitten. And they go and they eat and drink with the drunkens. They eat and drink with the unsaved, and not breaking the bread with the body of Christ. So the Lord says that the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And we look into the churches, and we see that they are not aware. So the meat of this season is that Judgment Day has come upon us. The things we've been declaring, that Satan has been loosed, that the hour of judgment has come, and that the day of the Lord is near, and come out of her, my people. That's the meat of due season. But we read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, concerning John the Baptist. And in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that has been the season of the whole New Testament era. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And of course that message continues to go, and will continue to go right up until the last person is saved. But we have a meat in this season, looking in at the things of the end. And John the Baptist did too, as we read. We read, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. So here he was clothed with camel's hair. The idea to be have this raiment of camel's hair, to have the a covering of camel's hair, the camel represents the corporate body. And here is a picture of John the Baptist being a Christian, a true believer, in the corporate body. And we read, and his meat was locusts. And as we look into the Bible, we have seen that the locust is a picture of the false prophet. And they come and they devour and destroy all of the green things, the food, the spiritual meat, and so on. But here, John the Baptist, his meat was locusts and wild honey. Wild honey is the gospel. Wild honey, I think, focuses in particularly on the Old Testament. And here now, we get in this picture with John the Baptist, the beginning of the preaching of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's the season. This is the season. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Finally, the Old Testament had been waiting. The believers of the Old Testament have been waiting thousands of years for the Savior to come. And finally, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The focus of the preaching and the teaching has taken a big change in the way things are going out as far as the gospel is being preached. The gospel is now being preached. We're preaching Christ Jesus, Christ crucified. Crucified and risen. But his meat was locusts and wild honey. So, he was bringing judgment. He was bringing the Old Testament focus of the coming Savior, and the day of the Lord is nigh. And his meat, again, was that locust, was the false prophet. he was able to respond to all the things that they brought up to him, because the Lord was putting into his mouth those words that he should speak. We too are in the time of the locust. We too, our meat is locusts, and honey also, but locusts, because again, it is we have to go out and declare the problems that we see in the place where the truth should be preached, and of course that is in the churches, and so our meat is locusts. We read in Acts about meat strengthening us. In Acts chapter 9, verse 10, we read, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints of Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, saith, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it were had been scales, and he received his sight. And forthwith he arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul certain days with his disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God." So this meat that he had received is the meat of his season. And he too was strengthened. They preached Christ crucified and risen. And immediately straightway he went and he preached Christ in the synagogues, and that he is the Son of God. The Bible tells us that we are to depart and shake off the dust as we preach the gospel, and to those who reject it. We read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, "And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat." And the meat we're bringing, again, is the Word of God. And again, we have meat of this season. And the meat of that season continues even in this season, because we too continue to preach Christ crucified. "And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who is in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it." That's the preaching of the gospel, the peace. You know, we go out into the world to bring peace between men and God. We're offering the gospel. We're preaching the grace of Christ. And those who can hear it find peace with God. "Let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, that when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Truly I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So here, and again, these houses and these cities are the churches. These past 2,000 years, as the gospel is being preached, this problem with rejection has always been in the churches. People have come under the hearing of the Word of God in the churches when the true gospel is being preached. And from time to time, these churches would go astray and go apostate, and God would cast them off and leave them dead upon the wayside. And when we come into these cities and we come into these houses, when we depart out of that house or that city, we shake off the dust of your feet. We read in Acts chapter 2, and I think God has given us an example of this, and the body of Christ has been doing for 2,000 years, is breaking bread from house to house, preaching the gospel from one place to another, and until it's no longer received, you get up and go to another place. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, and all the believers were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had his need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You see, they have one heart, one focus, and that heart is focused towards the Word of God, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And of course, that church is the true church of God. That's the body of Christ. The Lord adds to the body such as should be saved. We read in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, and when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of us have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So when we come to the point when we are a full age and able to eat the strong meat, which is the Word of God, and to come to understand hard to understand things, it is then that our senses are exercised to be able to discern between the good and the evil. And ultimately, that full age is focusing in on when one becomes born again. That is the full age. You know, we enter into the churches, and we come under the hearing of the Word of God during the church age, this is. And we come in unsaved. We respond unsaved. We come in unsaved. We've been called. We hear something. And then we start working out our salvation with great fear and trembling. And the Word starts to work within us, and we start to understand things and respond to it. Sometimes we might come in and out of the church until eventually we respond. And again, I'm speaking of during the church age. And we're coming in and out, and eventually we respond, and then we don't leave no more. We don't enter out anymore. We read in Matthew chapter 25, here is a time of going out, of watching. Verse 1, and speaking of the Great Tribulation, Matthew 25 obviously follows Matthew 24. Matthew 24 obviously follows Matthew 23. Matthew 23 gives us the picture of God bringing the woes to the scribes and the Pharisees, and of course he leaves them desolate, and that's the church of the Old Testament that he leaves desolate, and that is a picture of what the end of the world is going to be. Where again Christ is going to leave the church, the corporate body, desolate. And God gives us these pictures and these examples as we read in Matthew 24. He gives us a lot of clues in Matthew 24, where he keeps coming up with the woe unto these scribes and Pharisees. Woe, woe, woe. These woes, I believe, is really focusing us in to the three woes of Revelations. And these same woes now are coming upon the corporate body. And they have rejected, and they have denied. And so God is giving us this picture in Matthew 23, and now at the end of Matthew 23, the Lord departs out of the temple, just like he departs out of the temple at the end of the world by the body of Christ leaving the temple. Christ departs out of the temple. He has taken the Holy Spirit from them. He gives us then the picture of Matthew 24, which God speaks of the great tribulation and the nature of that great tribulation, which is false Christ and false prophets. And then as he comes into Matthew 25, he then gives us a parable concerning all that he had just spoken. And he says in Matthew 25, verse 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." The bridegroom is Christ. The 10 virgins are 5 wise and 5 foolish. It represents both of Abraham's sons. Abraham had 2 sons, the children of God and the children of the Antichrist. Abraham had 2 sons, and we have the wicked, and we have the blessed. And we read on, "And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." And the lamp is the place, of course, where the light is put forth. The oil is that which gives the fuel for that light. And the wick, when we study the word wick that God uses particularly, it's the word flux, I think it is. Flux or flask, I forget exactly which word it is that we find often. Smoking flux, right. That is actually a piece of linen, which is the very same word linen that God uses in order to give us the picture of the robes of righteousness that we are covered by. And it is that linen, that flux, that is dipped into the lamp and sucks up the oil, and light is brought forth because the lamp is lit, and it is Christ who lights that lamp. But again, that oil, it represents the Holy Spirit. And the foolish, they had lamps, and that lamp is the lampstand, the candlesticks we've been looking at in Revelation. It's a lampstand. They took their lamps, they had their lampstands, but they didn't take any oil. They didn't have any Holy Spirit. But the wise took oil in their lamps, they had the Holy Spirit. While the bridegroom tarried, and that's what happened in 1994, the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And we know that midnight represents the time when we come out of the church. That brings us to the sixth trumpet. And we are to go out to meet him. To go out is to come out of the temple, out of the corporate body. "Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Now they presumed that they had light, but they had what God speaks of as a smoking flux. It is a they have lamps, and they have a wick to light, a flux. And when they light it, it sizzles. It never gives off light. But now it's a smoking flux. Their lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. This idea of the door being shut, we get this kind of picture also in the days of Lot, when they wearied themselves to find the door. Remember when the two messengers shut the door when they were trying to break through it, and they shut the door, and the Bible says they wearied themselves to find the door. They couldn't find Christ. Christ is the door, and they could not find him. Another idea of this that Revelation, the book of Revelation gives us, is that they death shall flee from them. And again, they don't find death, they don't find Christ. This idea of the death that is in view there is the idea of being buried with Christ in his baptism and being risen again to put off the old man and put on the new. And again, it has fleed from them. They cannot find Christ. They cannot find salvation. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went unto him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Truly I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And again, we were unaware of the day and the hour of the judgment when he has come, but now we see that he truly has come in judgment. And we have been watching, and that's why we have been able to see it. Acts 14:17, He left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So, it is when the fullness of time comes that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And there is a time for all seasons, and he set into the heavens timekeepers, so that we can see the times and the seasons. We read in Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, and God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from night, and let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And the spiritual picture here of the two greater lights, the two lights, one greater and one lesser, is really giving us a picture, I think, of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is represented by the moon, and the moon receives its light by the sun. And the New Testament is the sun. And we know that the New Testament is the Old Testament explained, and it's the Old Testament expounded upon, and we see the salvation that God has prepared and made. And the stars, of course, represent the believers. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we read in verse 1, To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace. A time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So God has set time for a purpose. He has set different things in different times. And sometimes it is a time to build, casting away stones, and another time to gather stones together. We read concerning the coming forth of the gospel in Mark chapter 1 verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. We read that we should be able to discern the times and the signs and the times. We read about that, I think it was in Matthew 16, a little earlier. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? We read in Acts chapter 7 verse 17, But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. So a time for the promise. The fullness of time, God set forth his Son. Galatians chapter 4 verse 1, Now I say that the heir as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the element of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, the appointed time of the Father, the fullness of time that God has sent forth his Son. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heavens and which are in earth, even in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye had heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in the earth, even in him. And of course, that has taken place through the whole New Testament era. The Lord is gathering. It's a time of gathering. There is a time to reap. In Revelation chapter 14, we read in verse 15, and another messenger came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. And it is Christ who is sitting on the cloud, and the cloud is the body of Christ. He is ruling and reigning. And he is told, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And it is the body of Christ that he is used to reap by the declaring of his word. The time of the season, the declaring that judgment has come, the separating of the wheat from the tares. And he sat on the cloud and thrust in his sickle unto the earth, and the earth was reaped. There is a time to judge. In Revelation chapter 11, we read in verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth. And that is the time that we are declaring right now, that the time of judgment is coming, that the end of the world is upon us, and that the day of the Lord, in the sense of him revealing himself in all of his glory, is so close we could reach out and touch it. The time that the world should be judged, a time of the dead that they should be judged. And then God will declare that there is a time no longer. Revelation chapter 10, verse 5. And the messenger which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and that's God himself, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. And since God can swear by no one greater than himself, he swears by himself. He swear by him that may liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So the fullness of the body, the time when God has gathered together, brings us to the end of the world. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward, who believed according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, we read about in Romans, and then shall all Israel shall be saved. And so God has sent his gospel out into the world and into all nations. And when he has brought all his people that he declared that he intends on saving, then all Israel shall be saved. And Israel is Christ, and we are the body of Christ, and all of the body shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. Let's see what time it is. It's we know that the Father reveals his will to his Son. We know that God reveals his secrets unto the prophets. We read about that in Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? And of course, this is talking about our time. And this is the meat of due season, the fact that the trumpet is blown in the city. And the trumpet is declaring that judgment has come. And the people are afraid. They do respond with fear. Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? How can evil, and evil in this case is ultimately judgment, but how could anything come into the city of God, and the God had not done it? Who can overtake God? And of course, when he came, in the days of Noah knew when judgment was coming. Abraham knew when judgment was coming. Lot knew when judgment was coming. And we know that judgment is coming. And that is the meat of this season. The meat of due season is that judgment has come, and the day of the Lord is near. And we now are looking forward now to the next and only thing left to happen, and that is the day that Christ reveals himself in all of his glory. And we perceive that that might be just a few years away. All right, anyway, we'll close down for the study for now. If anybody has any questions or comments, feel free to raise your hand or pick up the mic.